Robin, welcome to East Lake Church. We started this church for people that are trying to figure out how to find and follow Jesus. It's a church for everyone because Jesus loves everyone. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit of faith or a lot of faith, Jesus loves you. And it takes faith in life. It takes faith to raise children. It takes faith to overcome a serious illness. It takes faith to be successful at your job or be successful at school. It takes faith to forgive someone that's hurt me. It takes faith to be forgiven. And it doesn't matter if you have a little bit or a lot, Jesus loves you. Now today we're going to take a look at a story in the Bible. It's quite famous. It's the story of David and Goliath. And here's the definition of faith. Just jot it in your notes somewhere. Here's the definition of faith. And it's not very religious. Regardless of my circumstances, God can make it happen. Because the definition of faith is not a religious definition. It's a relational definition. Regardless of my circumstances, God can make it happen. And this story, how does a teenager with a slingshot kill a giant? Because David believed, regardless of his circumstances, that God could make it happen, even though he was afraid. And what we'll look at is that even when I'm scared, even when I have fears, my faith can grow. It's the big idea this weekend. You can write it in your notes. When my fear is the greatest, it's a chance for my faith to grow. And so here we go right here. Let's start with the story. A Philistine army's champion came out to their camp. His name was Goliath from Gath. He was 10 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a bronze coat of armor scales weighing 125 pounds. On his legs, he had bronze shin guards, and on his back, a bronze javelin. The shaft of his spear was like the beam used by weavers. The head of his spear was made of 15 pounds of iron. When Saul and all the Israelites heard what this Philistine said, they were gripped with fear. And really, that's when we need faith, is when I'm afraid. When I'm afraid in life, do I respond in fear or do I respond in faith? And Shaquille O'Neal doesn't, you know, have anything going on this guy. I mean, you know, 10 feet tall. And there's all sorts of legends about giants through history. And, you know, Jack the Giant Slayer and Jack and the Beanstalk. But people, Christ followers, believe that this is an actual true story, that there was a giant. And what it represents for us is all the giant things in our life that stand between me and what I want to see happen in my life. So when I want to go back to school and there's giant school loans in front of me or giant costs or I've got too many kids or I'm too young or I'm too old or my parents don't think I should do it or my wife doesn't want me to. Giant things that stand between me and what I want to see happen in my life. And David, he's different than the different people in this story because even though he's afraid, he believes that God can make it happen. Let me give you some backdrop. Israel has their own king at this point. His name is Saul. And the problem with Saul, he's the king, is that whenever Saul needs his faith the most, he loses faith. Whenever there's a giant problem in his family, whenever there's a giant problem in his personal life, whenever there's a giant problem in the nation, which he's the king of, Saul always responds in fear instead of faith. And doesn't life boil down to that a lot of times? It's like, there's the giant right there. I know what it is. But do I respond in fear or do I respond in faith? And David's just the opposite of Saul. He knows how to respond in faith. And let's take a look at how he does it. Write in your notes, be future-focused instead of failure-focused. So that's David. And let's continue in the story. Have you seen the giant, the men asked. Have you seen the giant? So he just gets into this camp now, and here's what happens. His father's name is Jesse, and David has seven brothers, and so he comes from like a good Utah family. He's got all these kids running around, and they're all in Saul's army, okay? So they're all in Saul's army. So Jesse would send David on occasion with supplies and food, send it off to take care of the brothers, and then to find out how everything's going, bring back some news about the brothers, how's everything going. And so David arrives at this time of the camp, and the first thing people say to him is, have you seen the giant? Have you seen the giant? You know, it's like when you want something to occur, you need a bigger house, and have you seen how much those houses cost that's big enough for me and my family? Have you seen how much weight I have to lose? Have you seen how much it costs to go back to school? That's what they say to him. As soon as he gets there, have you seen the giant? And oftentimes when you want to see something happen in your life, what you really can see in front of it is there's a giant in my way. And that's what he's greeted with. And so he gets there. Have you seen the giant? And we keep going. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He'll give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing the Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" So here's David now. Everybody's reminding him, have you seen the giant? And where I work at, there's this giant whiteboard with everybody's name on it. And on that giant whiteboard, everybody's name is there. And every time you sell something, there's these little squares. And you get to color in a little square because you've sold something. So everybody that works there can see what everybody's doing. It's this ginormous whiteboard. Everybody's name is on there. It could be a little intimidating because you're, you know, like if you don't have enough sales, everybody can see your sales. And there was this one... there was this one guy that worked there, and you could just tell that every time he looked at the whiteboard, he anticipated failing. And you know, life is much more difficult when you expect to fail, but it's so much easier when you expect to succeed. There was this this guy that recently moved into senior living, and so he's living in this place where all these senior citizens live, and they had a dining hall that you could go to and eat, and so he said, "Well, I'll try it," so he goes there, he's eating by himself, and he notices that this lady across the room just keeps looking at him and looking, and every time he glances over, she'd look away, and he's eating his food, and he said, "God, do I know her? Is she from my past, or did I do something?" And she's constantly staring at him, kind of giving him the evil eye, you know, and he'd glance over, and she'd look away, and, you know, it starts to bug him. He's like, "What is this, you know, chick looking at me like that for?" And so at the end of the meal, he goes over to her. He says, "You know, I noticed you've been looking at me all this time I've been eating. Did I do something wrong? Are you mad at me or something?" She goes, "Oh, no." She goes, you look so much like my third husband." He's like, "Oh, okay." He says, "Well, ma'am, may I ask, how many times have you been married?" And she said, "Twice." Life's a lot easier. Life's a lot easier when you expect a victory. But see, David shows up and everybody's expecting a defeat. Have you seen him? Now, David has a trick, and here's the principle. When you focus on the future, focus on the reward. It's not just about focusing on the future, because you can focus on the future and you can focus on a defeat. Focus on the reward. Here's what David's saying. Everybody else say, "Have you seen the giant? Have you seen the giant?" And David's like, "Have you seen the reward? Have you seen the king's daughter who's going to be my wife? I'm going to be a rich man. I'm never going to pay taxes again." What reward do you want? Focus on the reward. Say to yourself something like this, "Man, you know what? You know, like, focus on this. Wait till you see me in those skinny jeans or those high-waisted jeans or whatever jeans you're supposed to be wearing nowadays. Like, or wait till you see me with my degree. Wait till you see the house that we live in with everybody has a bedroom. I can send those kids to the other side of the house and forget I even had them." You know, it's like, focus on the future reward. That's the important thing. This fellow that I worked with, every day he'd go and he'd look at the giant whiteboard. And he had a little trick that he tried to do. He wouldn't color in whether he made a sale or not. He just would leave it blank. He's like, "I'm going to ignore that." You can't ignore the future. And he was so intimidated, this giant whiteboard. He just saw it. And when he saw the whiteboard, what he expected was to fail. And sure enough, he did. He lost his job. It was a sad day to watch him pack up and leave. Because when he looked into the future, all he could see was the giant whiteboard. And it didn't have what he wanted on it. And David arrives at the camp. "Have you seen this giant? Have you seen the giant?" He completely shifts his focus. Listen, you'll always see the giant, but you get to choose what you focus on. You'll always see the giant. You choose what you'll focus on. Focus on the reward. What is life going to be like after you succeed? And that's what David does here. He focuses on a future. Several months ago, almost a year now, we knew at some point when we came to Utah that it was going to be very difficult to get property, and we've been through all this before, and so here it was going to be very, very difficult. So we decided at some point we better line up a school to be in, because we'd outgrow this and we'd need to be in a school, and we're like... East Lake Church was a group of people that came from Southern California. We came here to put roots down and to stay and to live here and to not leave. And so we came here and we brought our ideas. And when we came from California, many churches start in a school. It's very normal. People actually like going to a school for the very first time. It's kind of a neutral ground. And so we thought it'd be like that in Utah here, and it's not. It's freaky for people to go anywhere where there's not a church building. And so we had a focus group, and what the guy said was, it's really weird to go somewhere where you don't have a building. And I was like, well, we can't afford a building. We don't have land yet. And so help me. Let people know church is about people and not a building. And so we're going to get a school. We're going to try to get a school. So we go to the school district, the Granite School District, and we make an application. We say, we'd like to rent a school on Sunday. And they're like, we don't rent anything on Sundays. We haven't ever rented anything on Sundays. We will never rent anything on Sundays. And so I thought, wow, that's a giant. So I decided to go meet the giant. So I met with the top guy in the whole school district. I said, you know, there's an actual law that, you know, the schools have to open up on Sundays. And he was just very, he just said this. He said, you know, sue us. And I was like, well, I don't want to sue you. That'd be embarrassing for you. Plus, I don't have the money. And he said, well, we're not opening the schools. I said, all right. And so I went home and I thought, gosh, talk about a giant. I mean, they're huge. They got tons of money. Touch it. They have their own attorney who called me. They had their own attorney on staff. He called me up. He said, it's going to be really tough for you. But he said, do you know what? Every school board meeting, anybody can stand before the school board and speak for 3 minutes. He goes, maybe you should try that. And so my son and I, Kalani, go down to the school board meeting. It's 1 week later. And I wrote up just a little tiny speech, and I timed it so it'd just be about 3 minutes. And eventually they said you could come up and stand up. And there's everybody with the school board, and you're just looking at them. Oh, man, they have been so prompted for this. They're like, yo, there's the guy that thinks, you know. And I stood up there to the microphone, and I gave my little talk for 3 minutes. And I gave it all I had for 3 minutes, and I went and sat down. And you know when you kind of read, like, a group of people trying to figure out how they're doing? It seemed like it went as flat and flopped as a pancake could get. I was just like, they hate me. I went back and sat down, and I left, and I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do next because it was a giant. And I was like, we'll never get into the schools. What's going to happen now? And about 2 weeks later, I get a letter from the school district thanking me for arriving and saying that from now on, the schools would be open on Sundays for anybody and everybody that ever wanted to rent them. They were changing their internal policy. And I was like, dang. Maybe my sermon should be 3 minutes long. It was a giant. It was a giant. And focusing on the reward instead of the failure. What is it you want to see occur in your life and all you can see is a giant? That's all you can see. And you should see the giant because the giant's real. That's what happens to my friend in the sales department. He tried to pretend that the future wasn't real. I'll just pretend that the big giant whiteboard isn't there. The whiteboard's there every day with your name on it. You're going to have to get used to that, bro. However, you get to choose what you focus on. And so do we. What do you need to refocus on? Because you're captivated by a giant. Do you see him? Do you see him? Have you seen him? Do you see how big he is? He's 10 feet tall. He's got a huge spear. It's like... And Dave is like, wait till you catch me. I'm the next prince because I'm marrying the king's daughter. Focus on the reward. Second thing, turn your notes over. Let's take a look here. Jesus is preparing you now so you can win a battle later. So David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. So what happens is David volunteers to fight Goliath, and the king says, you're a little kid. You can't go fight the giant. And so David is trying to leverage his history now. He's saying, well, no, wait a minute. He's talking about being a shepherd. He's kind of giving his verbal resume that he should be able to fight the giant. And so here's what it says right here. I went after it, struck it, rescued it from the sheep from the mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. So David has an interesting history. Some years before this occurred, the head religious leader in Israel seeks him out and tells him that he's going to be the king someday. And so David knows who he's going to be in the future. He knows who he's supposed to be. But when he's a shepherd, he's a long ways away from being the king. And so when he arrives here, he already knows who he's supposed to be. And I don't know if, like, when you forget who you're supposed to be or you don't know who you're supposed to be, it's very difficult to take on the giants. And so when David arrives here, he's trying to explain to Saul, he's saying, hey, I have already started to prepare. And then he goes on, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. So here's David now talking about preparation. And he's probably standing before Saul saying, gosh, that's why I had to fight those lions and bears. Because now I got to take on this guy. When you forget who you are, I went over to the small town I was raised at in Nevada, a tiny little town, ranching town. And I get there and I find out that my town has changed. They now have a taxi cab in my town. And in my town's really small. They didn't have any stoplights or stop signs and definitely no taxi in my town. But the big, big news is now there's a taxi in my town. And this one guy has one taxi cab. He's the taxi service, right? So I'm talking to my friends one night. We were all out late, and the next day, my friend told me he was going to call the taxi, and I was shocked. This taxi? Can't get a taxi around here. You're crazy, you know, because I grew up there. I didn't know there was a taxi. And the next day, I was talking to his mom, because I ended up giving him a ride home, and she says, well, you know, it's a crazy thing about that taxi. She said, just a couple weeks ago, a bunch of people were out late, and they were at this bar, and they had not gone over the line, but they'd definitely all been drinking, and they're like, it may not be safe to drive home. I don't want anybody to get hurt. So they call a taxi. You know, which is a great thing. You call the taxi comes and gets you, it's all good, right? So they call the taxi guy up, and they say, hey, we're down at this bar, can you come and pick us up? He goes, I can't come and pick you up, because I'm drunk. And I was like, wait a minute. Your job is to help me when I feel like I've drank too much. You're not. I mean, it's when we forget who you are. And when you forget who you are, what you're going through now doesn't feel like preparation, it just feels like a pain in the butt. It's like, why do I have to go through this? These stupid lions. You know, like when you're a shepherd, you're like, why doesn't God make the lions stay away? Why did he let these bears come? But when you know you're going to be king someday, you know, a shepherd protects the sheep. A shepherd takes care of the sheep. And so a king takes care of the people and protects the people. And Saul is scared to death right here. He's like, I'm so scared. I'm operating in my fears. And he's not willing to believe that God can make it happen. But David has already been prepared. He's already seen God make it happen with lions and bears. And so when he sees the giant, he goes, oh, just be the same as it's always been. God will make it happen. What are you going through right now? And possibly it's not just a struggle. It's preparation. You know, life is very different when you always can take a hold of this. What I'm going through now is to prepare me for something better later. Because if not, it just seems like we're struggling just to survive. I'm just treading water. I'm just struggling right now so I can just get through this day. But it's going somewhere. You're being prepared today for something that's coming later. And David walks into this situation, he sees the giant, he says, been there. I know what it is to believe that God can make it happen. What are you being prepared for? It just seems like a struggle right now. It just seems like unnecessary pain and sorrow. But actually, Jesus is preparing you to win a battle later. Now, the bottom line, don't run away from the problem. Instead, run towards the problem. In my small little town where I grew up, there was a golf course, and I went out there. I raised at this golf course with my grandpa. He was a grand, you know, took me golfing all the time, just kind of a social thing. And I get out there, and it's the same old golf course, and I'm walking through the, like where they have like a pro shop where you can buy things and a little cafe there, and same place as I grew up. And I see a picture of these five golf pros that were the golf pros when I was a kid, and I couldn't believe it. I could name them all right to you. There was Mike and Mel and John and Barney, and I saw them all. I was like, dang, there's like when I was a kid, I saw them, you know. I walked down into the golf shop, and there was one guy there talking to another guy, and nobody greeted me. He was kind of grumpy, too. He didn't say anything to me. So I started looking around at all the different golf clubs and reminiscing because I'd grown up there. I spent a lot of happy times there with my grandpa through the summer vacations. And I looked down, and when you're a golf pro, you get a bag, a golf bag with your name on it. So that's a big thing, you know. So I see this one golf bag, and it has this name on it, Menenti. And I'm like, Menenti? I said, I know that kid, man. I used to play that kid when I was a kid in junior golf. And so I turned to the old guy that was behind the counter. I said, hey, man, did this kid grow up here in Reno? He goes, yeah, that's Dean Menenti. I said, I know Dean Menenti. I played him all the time on the golf course, you know. He goes, yeah, he's still around here. And right next to it, there was a golf bag, and it said Barney on it. And Barney was one of the pros from way back in the day that was in the picture. And so I just caught it out of the corner of my eye. It just came out of my mouth. I said, Barney? Is that guy still around here? And the guy behind the counter says, I'm Barney. And just that moment, you know, where there's like complete silence and the air gets heavy. And you either go forward or backwards. I mean, it's just in the moment. And I just like, am I running out right now? Or am I going forward? And I was like, hey, Barney, how you doing, man? I mean, it's like, good to see you. You know, you look great. And remember me, my grandfather, George Seibert, I was his grandson. How you doing, Barney? And everything sort of mellowed out a little bit. And in life, you have many times where you decide, am I running forward or am I running away? It says in this story that David ran. Listen to this. Read it together. When the Israelites saw Goliath, they ran away in terror. Look at him, they said to each other. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, circle this, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching to his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. And I'm sure David's like, how do you like me now? The giant goes down. And he had to run. And you may have come today and you're in a situation, it's like your Barney moment, and you're just like, you're froze, and you're like, am I moving forward or am I moving backwards? Am I going to run towards it and believe that regardless of my circumstances, God can make it happen? And sometimes it's a thought in your mind. Like in that moment, you're just like, oh man, if I try again, I'm going to fail, and it's going to be more embarrassing than the last time because I failed last time, and it was embarrassing. They're better than me. I'm not as good as them. You know, they're never going to pick me. It's a giant thought. And in your moment, I got through high school, sort of, and then I didn't get an undergraduate's degree, and I decided I wanted to get a master's degree, and they had this program where they would allow me to get into a master's. I thought, well, I'm down for that. Don't have to do the undergraduate work. So I applied for this master's program, and I got in. And I had just enough college, and so I got into this master's program. I'd always kind of wanted to do it, so I got into it, and I was going along and got all the paperwork done. And the very first assignment comes, very first thing, I have to get the master's, like, here we go. And the very first assignment, I completely screw it up. Very first one. I turned it in late, and it was all screwed up, and it was just terrible. And I went to bed that night, and I was just like, gosh, man, I don't even know why I'm doing this stupid thing. I don't have to do it. I've already got a good job. I mean, no one's making me do it. And then I was just, the fears started coming. The giant thoughts started coming. You're going to flunk out, and everybody's going to find you out. You're not smart enough to get a master's degree. You don't come from some smart family and stuff like that. You don't even know how to, and just there comes the thoughts. The thoughts keep coming. And I went to sleep with all those racing around in my head. The last thing I thought before I went to bed is like, I can always quit. And when I woke up in the morning, I was supposed to go to school. I was supposed to get my homework done. I was supposed to get out of bed. And I woke up really super early, on time, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, am I going or am I not going? And you might be here today thinking that. Am I moving forward or am I moving away? Am I going to run towards the giant and through the giant, or am I going to run away? And I don't want you to think that I got out of bed in my own strength, because if it was in my own strength, I never would have got out of bed. I just had to ask for help. I was like, Lord, I can't even begin to run right now. And he gave me just enough strength to move towards the giant. And 3 years later, I was able to take the giant down. Because if you move towards the giant, you will find out that regardless of your circumstances, God can make it happen. And that's what David learned.